you know, I just kind of remember everything like it was like it was yesterday. You know, like it was yesterday. You know, I got a little age on me, but not that much, you know. It was a lot of fun, you know, growing up around here in the south side of Houston, this part of town. You know, my mother, her sister, and my grandmother and her sisters and brothers were all from here. But they originally grew up in Willis, Texas, which is right on the other side of Conroe. And when they were children, maybe the age of 11 and 12 and 13, they moved to Houston. And so we originally grew up in the Third Ward area and expanded out here and in this area out here, you know, which when I was coming up, when I was small, around the age of 5 or 6 or something like that, the city hadn't really expanded that far. You know, I mean, it's like when you got to 610, or maybe from 610 to Belfort, that was pretty much almost the end of the city. You were really almost on this side of town at the end of the city, you know, when I was real small coming up. And when you got to Reed Road, then that was the city dump where everybody took the garbage. You know, and, you know, because who would put a city dump in the middle of the city? So that was county when you got to Reed Road, which is not that far from here, you know. And like I say, 610 was kind of like borderline between city and county. The first thing out this way was the Houston Astrodome, you know. And so, like, you know, every now and then when the wind would blow, you kind of get a little whiff of the dump living right here where we are right now, you know. So it was a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time, you know, doing normal things that kids would do. 288 was not completed, even though it was completely dug out, and it was nothing going out that way towards Holly Hall. It wasn't even a street leading to the Astrodome at the time, because Maynard didn't go all the way through, and neither did Holly Hall. So it was just a lot of land, a lot of hills. We would go and pick berries and stuff like that and bring it back to our parents, and they would make, you know, like dewberry pies and stuff like that. And we would even catch a couple of rabbits and bring them back. You know, that's just what the guys did, you know, coming up for fun, you know. Well, you know, most of the residents that lived here at the time, you know, speaking of maybe like my grandparents, you know, they were all of the people that was here was from somewhere else that lives, I mean, literally on a farm or in the country. So when they came living over here, it was just a natural thing for somebody to have a garden. You know, every other house had a garden. You know, everybody grew a lot of squash, mustard greens, collard greens. Those was like the number three things that you had, you know, if you had a garden, you know. And then followed by the bell peppers and the tomatoes. Yeah, and I remember when I was living with my aunt and uncle, well, they had chickens in the backyard, you know. So to have those type of animals living in the city, but like I said, we was at that time, we was kind of borderline between the city and the county. So you had a few people, they not only had gardens, they had chickens too. And a little bit further, you know, you went south, you know, towards, I want to say, Reed Road, Airport, Belfort, you know, there was horses and cows, you know. You know, I mean, it was no big thing to see people riding horses. So, you know, that's how it was, you know, coming up, you know, living among the older folks that was here, you know, at the time. The older people were strict, very strict. They were nice, but they were very strict and to the point. You think your parents are strict? No, your parents probably not as strict as the older people were, you know. So it's a younger generation now, and, you know, everybody is pretty much like doing their own thing, you know. But, you know, when I was coming up, you know, everybody knew everybody in the neighborhood, you know. And if someone got in trouble, everybody got in trouble. Just like that. You had to kind of like walk a real thin line with the old people, you know what I'm saying? Because they see everything. So it was like that. But, you know, the neighbors now, everybody more like to themselves. You know, you might move next to someone and might not even get a chance to know them for the next 4 or 5 years. But, you know, back then, you know, it was everybody knew everybody, you know, real personally, you know. Yeah, I mean, everybody was always bringing pies or cakes or something like that to someone's house because, you know, you had a lot of women that did a lot of pastries, a lot of baking, so it was a lot of cooking, and it was a lot of cakes, you know, and a lot of pies, and, you know. So, you know, everybody just, you know, had fun and just ate a lot, you know. I remember this one young man that stayed right here in the neighborhood. His name was Mr. Daniels. He had a hamburger and fry place up there on Scott. You know, right here where the Texaco is? Mm-hmm. It's a building that's sitting right across next to it, mm-hmm. which I think used to be a tie shop right there. Well, that's where the Dairy Mart used to be, you know. Back then, you had Dairy Queen. Well, Mr. Daniels' place was called Dairy Mart. You know, Dairy Mart, you know, he made hamburgers and fries and shakes and malts and stuff, you know. So, so he made, you know, chili dogs, hot dogs, hamburgers and fries. And he made a whole ton of money off of us as kids coming up, you know, in the neighborhood. Because that, to get a real shake or a real malt, that's where you went, you know. Yeah. And he had little diner boots and stuff, and you can come in and you can sit down. And he made his own donuts and apple fillers, and it was kind of like a little Shipley's too, you know, because he made his own little pastries and stuff, you know. And if you want a Frito pie or whatever you wanted, you know, he had it, you know. And so that's where, when we were in junior high, that's where, you know, the kids or people coming from high school that wanted a burger or something before they went home, they would all stop off at Mr. Daniels and get them a nice burger and fry or get a Dairy Mart, you know. He sold ice cream too, you know. So he really kept us, you know, he really kept us on the go, you know. You know, right here in the community on Tier Western and Seabrook, I don't remember because I wasn't living quite this far on this end those years, but that used to be the fire station. That used to be there. And South Union used to have this large, tall water tower that you could see for a couple of miles, no matter if you was in the medical center or past the Astrodome, and everybody would say, well, where you stay? Well, you say, well, you know, you see that silver water tower? Well, that's where I stay, where everybody knew where South Union was because of the large water tower. And like I say, that was the old fire department at the time. I don't know what year it discontinued because I might have been too small, but the building was still there. And so what the city did, they made it out of a recreation place. So when we was teenagers and we needed somewhere to go, everyone went to the fire station because they had games and they at 12 noon they passed out lunches You know, they had free lunches for the kids if they wanted to eat. And, you know, the parents would drop their kids off if they had something to do for a couple of hours, and they had supervision that was there, and you just stayed there, you played, you know, games and whatnot and everything, you know, at the park, you know, and we would go on field trips sometimes, you know, we would go on field trips, and that was a big thing to do, you know, because everybody know they're going to get some snacks and get some lunch at 12 noon, you know, being hanging out at the old fire station, you know, which was a little recreation center for everybody that was here in the community. I had real good friends. Everybody, you know, I was a likable person because I could play all the sports and everything. And, you know, when it came to sports, everybody had certain people they wanted on their team, and I was always one of the favorites, you know, that everybody, you know, wanted on their team, whether it was playing baseball at Zydeskale Park, playing volleyball, you know, something like that. Yeah, I had a lot of friends. We had a lot of friends coming up. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of involvement with this side of town because of Mr. Zydie Scales, who had, you know, personal ties with the mayor at the time and people in City Hall, and, you know, that's why they, you know, they named the park after him, because he was such a good patriot of South Union, you know, raised his family and kids and everything, and he kind of like kept an eye on, you know, like, you know, what was going on here and everything. And so, you know, he had a little pull, and he was, you know, our voice when it came to major issues and stuff that needed to be done. You know, he would address it, man, and it would be heard, you know. We kind of lost a lot of that, you know, because we don't have that kind of, you know, voice here, you know, where you can go one-on-one with the person about public issues. He was a real nice guy that you could talk to and, you know, address issues with. You know, he would listen, you know, and that was nice to know that, you know, you had someone that, you know, that would listen, you know. So he was a guy. He was a nice guy. You know, I just remember him as a kid, you know, pretty much coming up, you know. Never got a chance to really know him as I got a little older into teenagehood, you know. Because at that time I was involved with a lot of sports and stuff. And then I didn't have time to be around nobody, you know. So, but he was a nice guy, you know. Most of the churches that you see now, they've been around since I was a kid coming up. You might have a few that might have sprung up, you know, here and there, and maybe disappeared over the few years. But most of the major churches, I can remember Lily Grove, I can remember South Union, and there might have been maybe one other two churches that might have been around. My parents, we didn't go to church out here. We went to the church that we go to now that's in Third Ward, Greater Zion, and it's probably about 130 years old now. You know, it's been around a long, long time, you know. So most of the churches that, like I say, that was here, they were here when I was a child coming up. And you have had some that had came and went. And one of the churches that I go to is one of the oldest churches in Third Ward, you know. But church now is so much different than it was back then, because now it's like a business, you know. It's like a business now. Church is more like a business than how it was ran back then, you know. I mean, they're more involved the neighborhoods and the communities, because they have took and purchased some of that money and have bought large number of properties. And so, you know, you got churches that own complexes now, where when I was coming up, they didn't. It was just church, you know. But a church is, it's a little bit more business-like now than ever, you know, before, you know. Well, you know, I just kind of remember everything like it was yesterday. You know, like it was yesterday. You know, I got a little age on me, but not that much, you know. It was a lot of fun, you know, growing up around here in the south side of Houston, this part of town. You know, my mother, her sister, and my grandmother and her sisters and brothers were all from here. But they originally grew up in Willis, Texas, which is right on the other side of Conroe. And when they were children, maybe the age of 11 and 12 and 13, they moved to Houston. And so we originally grew up in the Third Ward area and expanded out here. And in this area out here, you know, which when I was coming up, when I was small, around the age of 5 or 6 or something like that, the city hadn't really expanded that far. You were really almost on this side of town at the end of the city, you know, when I was real small coming up. And when you got to Reed Road, then that was the city dump. That was the dumping site, you know, for where everybody took the garbage, you know. And, you know, because who would put a city dump in the middle of the city? So that was county when you got to Reed Road, which is not that far from here, you know. And like I say, 610 was kind of like borderline between city and county. The first thing out this way was the Houston Astrodome, you know. And so, like, you know, every now and then, when the wind would blow, you kind of get a little whiff of the dump living right here where we are right now, you know. So it was a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time, you know, doing normal things that kids would do. 288 was not completed, even though it was completely dug out, and it was nothing going out that way towards Holly Hall. It wasn't even a street leading to the Astrodome at the time, because Maynard didn't go all the way through, and neither did Holly Hall. So it was just a lot of land, a lot of hills. We would go and pick berries and stuff like that and bring it back to our parents, and they would make, you know, like dewberry pies and stuff like that. And we would even catch a couple of rabbits and bring them back. You know, that's just what, you know, that's just what the guys did, you know, coming up for fun, you know. And everything was pretty much almost, I want to say, you had a lot of independent people that had their own businesses out here before it got to be, you know, a lot of other people involved that was coming this way that wanted to start business. That were everything pretty much almost black owned, black ran. You know, everybody had their own mom and pop type of kind of shop, you know, and business. Whether it was real nice, you know, it was real nice coming up, you know, this part of town. What it was, it, most of the women here, they had the beauty shops. Their husband built them a detached place in the backyard. And that was their little boutique and where they went and they got their hair done. You know, there was their own little personal way of having their own business. And they had their share of customers. So most of the beauty shops out here were right here at the place where the women were staying. It was just the business was always in the backyard or on the side of the house, and that's where the beauty shop was. Barbershop, Mr. Burt's, right here on Lydia. Mr. Stonewall, he had been there you know, long before I got here, he had a barbershop. So that was the neighborhood barbershop that was right there. Mr. Wells, right there at the corner of Spring Hill and Noah, there's a building right there. And Mr. Wells used to sell barbecue. We had two barbecue places that was here that was in the neighborhood. You had Mr. Wells' barbecue place that was right there on the corner of Till Webster and Noah. And you had Greg's barbecue that's on Scott right there. That was a barbecue place right there that was family, you know, that was family owned and ran. So you had like two barbecue shops that was here, you know, and you had a dozen little salons and stuff. And you had Mr. Burke was one of the major barbershops where everybody pretty much went there, got, you know, that had the hair done and everything. But like I say, you know, you had a lot of businesses that was here. Well, they used to have a sign, and it used to be posted outside. Now, you talking about KG. There's a Oriental family. They were out here years probably before I was even here, and some of their children is around by my age and a little older, so we got to know them real personal, like family, you know. And one thing about the little stores that's here, everybody that owned one of those stores, they knew your parents or they knew your grandparents. And back then, back in the day, so they didn't have credit cards. You couldn't go and swipe nothing, put nothing on a credit card, but what they did have, they had credit. So if you wanted to purchase something or buy something, they just put your name on a little tablet and wrote out the tab and how much you owed. And then when you got paid, you came back and you paid them and you had good outstanding credit with them. You could come and purchase and buy anything at the store you want that day or within that week and had no money. But when you did get paid, you came back and you paid them off and your balance was clear. So it was that kind of thing, you know, trust kind of worthy thing back then. Right up there where HEB is, that used to be Shoppers Fair. And Shoppers Fair was like a big department store where you could go buy clothes and whatnot and everything. And that was the closest store by being not too far from the neighborhood here. A lot of people went up there and they shopped up there for clothes and everything. Right now, it's several other little businesses all right there. But at one time, that was all one big department store from one end to the other end. And everybody, you know, used to go up there. If you want to go a little further, you went to Montgomery Ward's, right there on Griggs and MLK. And of course, you know, Palm Center was like a mall. Well, actually, Palm Center was one of the first malls that we had in Houston. If you lived around here, you didn't have to go too far from finding or getting, you know, anything, you know, that you wanted to have, you know, for, you know, family living. You know, everything was right here. You had Western Auto, and you had Wide's Cafeteria on Griggs. There were a lot of places, you know, that was here. I've been working construction for a little over 30 years. I've got to be on a lot of projects, a lot of buildings, to really firsthand to see the city grow myself. You know, I can go back in time and I can tell you what year it was, depending on what project was being built at that time, And it's just something that you just never, you know, forget. Major structures in the city. I spent a lot of my time in the medical center, just going from hospital to hospital, and maybe a few other times building in the downtown area. So a lot of historical landmarks that are right now, I was doing it when I was at a young age, like 21, 22, you know, building and just being involved with whatever it was that the city, you know, had to build. I worked for just about every major contractor that has been in the city that's probably been around for over 100 years now here in the metropolitan area. You know, right now I'm employed with CSC at the Johnson Space Center. We are one of the largest contractors that's on site in the maintenance department, and we fix and we service everything that comes up and that goes wrong, you know. And CSC is an abbreviation of Computer Science Corporation. You know, I've lived here, and from here, the medical center is just only like, what, 5 minutes, 6 minutes away. And my mother, she worked at MD Anderson. She was a nurse. So, you know, she retired from there with about 43 years of service, you know. And so, you know, medical center, I've always been there. And, you know, a lot of companies have came and went, you know, throughout the years, you know, like the Nabisco, you know, on Holcomb. They were there, and we used to have field trips when we was coming up, and they used to take us there to watch how the cookies and the crackers and all this stuff was made and everything, you know. So that was like once upon a time, but, you know, they gone, you know. But, you know, it was nice, you know, being a part of, you know, different projects that I had a chance to do and be involved with, you know, as a union worker, labor, you know. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of challenging.
And I think I remember, too, like a lot of people sat on their porches.
Yes.
And a lot of them at that time had the covered, not the screened porches.
Right. It was closed in with a screen for the, yes, like the insects and, mm-hmm, stuff like that, the mosquitoes
and
whatnot.
The rocking chairs on the porches, you know.
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So you could drive by and you see, you know, everybody waves.
Yep.
You know, everybody, oh, that's so-and-so, you know, that's so-and-so's grandbaby, you know.
That is so true. Yeah. That is so true. Yeah. Because at that time they had, they looked like locusts. They were the huge grasshoppers. I mean, they were like brown and, you know, when they get on you, they own you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they get all in your hair, they get in your car, they just be everywhere, you know. And sometimes they eat up your vegetables and stuff. Yeah, like locusts, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything, the leaves and stuff, because it's gone, you know. Because it was like a lot of prairie around here. It wasn't the things that you see now. It was such very little love, you know, and it was just land, you know, just a bunch of land, you know. And so, like she said, they had the porches, they had the screen fence that you were screened in and stuff like that, you know. And so I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like it is now. It wasn't a lot of violence or anything, you know. You can go to sleep with your windows open or something like that, you know. You don't have to worry about nobody coming, you know, in your home or anything like that. And oh yeah, and then another thing, you know, everybody had some kind of security dog, you know, that was real well trained, you know. So everybody knew what street to ride their bicycles on and didn't ride their bicycles on, because you had to be a real fast paddler to get away from a lot of them big dogs. And so you say, well, hey, you know, don't go on such and such a street, because, you know, he got them dogs on the porch and they're going to get after you if you drive by there. And they would, you know, and they would. So, you know, it was like that, you know. Yeah, that was a lot of fun back then, you know. If you wanted to get chased by dogs, you know which street to go on because they was going to chase you. Let me see. Mr. Fairfax. I can't forget him. Mr. Fairfax, the property right here on Scott, right here, the park.
Yeah.
That's right where there. Where they had to tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little club right there where they used to tear it down. Well, his place extended all the way. It used to be a car wash right there. The car wash went away, and I think the city bought the rest of that to add on to that park right there. But Mr. Fairfax, his place was huge, and like your husband said, it was right there where that little slab is right there, and it went all the way almost to that park. He had the largest junkyard on this side of town. It was like a modern day picky park almost. You know, he would sell you anything salvageable that you had. If you wanted to take off of one car, put on the next car, you went to see him, you know, because he had all of the junk cars and everything. Yeah, so he was a successful man at that type of business. And I remember one day it caught on fire, and man, it got a bunch of attention. I mean, you know, this thing was like almost like an explosion. You know, I mean, fire, smoke, you could see for miles and miles and miles, you know. But that, I think, was before the city had put in the ordinance on what you were supposed to do and so forth, taking the gas and the oil and stuff out the cars. You know, it was nothing, I think, on the books at that time. And so, you know, you had a lot of cars that had a lot of fuel and stuff that was, and it all caught on fire one day. And man, they had to close the freeway down. You couldn't come down Scott Street. It was a mess.
But you should have bring back the memory. There was a water tower.
Yeah.
And I used to love, because we would pass by the Nabisco building when my dad would pick us up, and we would drive down Hokeman. I don't remember how else we got here, but I remember smelling the Nabisco.
Yes, yes, you got
smell them and
you got hungry every
yes.
time you passed that place. I mean, yes. You could just smell the cinnamon and the cookies and oh man, if you weren't hungry, you was hungry then.
Yeah. And
you're
then
right.
I would always be able to tell where I was little
yeah.
by that water tower. You almost there.
Yeah.
You see the water tower, and
they had a ground storage water tower, and they had the long water tower with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you could see that before they start really building up around. You could see that water tower for a long way. And all you had to do is say, well, I live in South Union, you know, it's close to Sunnyside. And everybody would say, well, where is that? And you say, well, you know, have you ever drove down 610 and you see this long water tower? Well, that's where I stay over there in that neighborhood, you know, because like I said, at that time, 288, it wasn't built then. It was all formed and it was all dug out, but there was no pavement there. It was just grass and dirt, you know. And then I guess when the city made up their mind that they wanted to complete it, you know, they didn't have to do anything but just put it there, you know. And so, you know, and then they had over here on, I think, Peerless Street, which was, you take Carter and you make that right, because it dead end right there, because they hadn't built 288 there, but you usually could drive from Carter all the way across 288 at one time.
To Alameda,
right. But once they built 288 there, you know, Carter dead end, and they used to have the 7-Up company. Used to be right there on Peerless. You can see it from 288 when you drive and you just look to the right and you look up and there's a company right there. And I'm not talking about the glass company. It's a little bit past the glass company. Well, that's where 7-Up used to be. You know, they used to distribute 7-Up from right there and stuff when we was growing up. Because all back that way, it was just woods and fields and trees and stuff. But that was the only company that I can remember that was back there was the 7-Up company. Yeah.
So how do you feel having seen so much change and have so much memories of what used to be? How do you feel about the change?
The only disappointment that I just really have that I wish that they could just bring up to speed the covers in the ditches. It's kind of been a little neglect on the city part. South Union is so old and the covers that we have here, they were not put down by any contractors. They were individually put down by the homeowners which built the houses and stuff, and it wasn't properly built and put, you know, so some of them have sunk, some of them have corroded, collapsed, and that goes against the water flow come in and out of, you know, of the community, you know, because if have it engineered where the water would run the right proper way, I would be very much pleased, you know, with the overall picture here, because it really doesn't flood here, you know. I mean, the water gets high. When it's too much water, it bags up somewhat close to some residents that lives a little farther around, but I think they could do a better job with the covers in the ditch, you know, because when water stands for so long, now you're talking about mosquitoes that carry diseases that's right out in your front yard, because you have a ditch which is really like a big retaining pond. You know, and most of the buildings now that you see, if you build some type of structure or something, you have to have a retaining pond for the service of the water that's coming off of that complex to go somewhere and sit for a while so it can work its way into the bayou and then, you know, goes, you know, straight out, you know, instead of just going straight into the gutters and filling them up and then filling bayous up. They have a retaining pond in a lot of places. You see it all over everywhere when you see major buildings, and you be like, why is they putting that big old hole over there? You know, well, that's why they put it there, you know, to reserve the water for when it's raining so it have somewhere to go. And so the ditches outside for years have been our retaining pond. But if the water's not flowing and it's standing and it's stagnant, then you got problems. It's easy to talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk too when it comes to stuff like that, you know. So, you know, everything costs money, of course, you know, but I don't think it would cost as much to fix what needs to be done for every resident that lives here in South Union and so forth, brand new covers, you know, for their driveways. Yeah. But I really would like for that done. Other than that, I've been pretty much happy, you know, being around and, you know, staying on this part of town. It's developing and it's still developing, you know.
So that's one of your joys about where you live.
Right.